site 2 starts immediately. We complete the description of Salatul Eid. Letter F. The imam then raises his hands up to the level of his shoulders or ears and performs ruku'a saying, Allahu Akbar. Thereafter, he raises his head up from bowing saying, Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, followed by the congregation saying, Rabbana wa laka alhamd. The imam and the congregation thereafter proceed to prostration saying, Allahu Akbar. The letter G. After the prostrations, the imam would resume the standing position for the second rakat, and the congregation would follow him up accordingly. The letter H. Thereafter, the imam would say Allahu Akbar for 5 times, and the congregation would perform likewise, and would recite the private supplication between each takbiratil ihram, as already discussed in point 4 above. The letter I. Then the imam recites Al-Fatiha, and for the second rakat, it is preferred that he thereafter recites the whole of chapter 88 of the Holy Quran, that is Al-Ghashiyah, the disaster, and the congregation would listen attentively. The letter J. Thereafter, the imam completes the ruku'ah, that is bowing and sujood prostration positions, in the manner already discussed, and sits back for the words of witness, that is at tashahud. Then the imam concludes the prayer with the words of peace, that is as-salatu was-salamu ala nabi. And of course, the entire congregation would follow the imam in all these acts, as is the custom in all prayers. Now with the letter K. After concluding the prayer, the imam would climb the pulpit to deliver the festival sermon and starts the same with 9 recitations of Allahu Akbar, with the congregation saying after him the same. After listening to the sermon, the congregation disperses listening to the sermon is not obligatory but is recommended. Note: when going home after the prayer, it is a recommended practice to use another route different from the route used in coming to the mosque or the place of prayer. Number 2, Eid al-Adha prayer. Eid al-Adha, the feast of immolation prayer, is performed on the 10th day of the 12th month of the Islamic Hijra calendar, as is performed exactly in the same manner as in number related and discussed above for the Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr prayer. Salatul Istisqa, that is the rain-seeking prayer. Drought is a natural calamity which, when it befalls, causes undue hardships and disaster to all living matter. It is for this reason that the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, made it a custom on the Ummah to resort to this prayer whenever affected by this calamity, and seek the mercy and grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower on them his bounty of rain. This prayer is performed similar to the Eid feast prayers in all respects. It may be performed any time during the day light, except those times when the performance of voluntary prayers is prohibited. Muslim scholars are largely of the opinion that the best time for this performance is the same time for the performance of the Al-Eid prayers, that is, after about 20 minutes from the clear sunrise. In the sermon at the end of the prayer, the imam, the leader, will exhort the congregation of the need to repent and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pointing out that the lack of rain is the result of the sins of mankind. The imam would thereafter raise his hands in prayer, and the congregation would also do the same. It's confirmed that the Prophet ﷺ used to raise his hands in prayer until his armpits appeared. While in this situation, the imam and the congregation are required to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible and call upon him for forgiveness and to shower on them his bounties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, "Ask forgiveness from your Lord, for he is oft forgiving. He will send rain to you in abundance." Al-Quran, Surah number 71, verses 10 and 11. Note, it's desirable that the head of the Muslim state or his representative gives prior notice to the Muslim community of the need to perform Salatul Istisqa at a certain future date. This is to enable as large a congregation as is possible to attend the prayer. Eclipse prayer, that is Salatul Kusuf. The eclipse of the sun and the moon are two natural phenomena which, when they occur, cause dismay and unrest to those who witness them. Of course, I have to comment on the word natural phenomena, because this word is not liked very much by the scholars of Islam. Natural referring to what? If it is done by nature, or is it done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Everybody would say naturally that it is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why not in expressing it, saying that it is a divine thing? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them to eclipse. For this reason, it is the tradition in Islam to perform a special prayer when these phenomena occur, requesting Allah the Almighty to bless the Muslim nation, that is the Ummah, by clearing the eclipse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "The sun and the moon are two of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and are not eclipsed for the death or livelihood of any person. Therefore, when you witness the eclipse of the sun and moon, resort to prayer." Reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. This prayer is composed of two rakats, which are performed in congregation and for which neither a first call adhan nor a second call iqama is required. It's performed in the following manner. Number one, after reciting Al-Fatiha, the Imam would recite a long passage from the Holy Quran with the congregation listening attentively to the recitation. Number two, upon completing the recitation, the Imam comes up with the bowing ruku'ah position, and as usual, the congregation would follow him accordingly. Number three, and now we have to pay attention. The Imam thereafter raises up from the ruku'ah, but instead of continuing on to the prostration, which is sujood position, he once again resumes the recitation of the same passages from the Holy Quran. Of some passages here. Meaning he completes the qira'ah reading Quran. Number four, after the above recitation, the Imam comes up with another ruku'ah. Number five, the Imam then raises up from the ruku'ah position and proceeds to prostration sujood. So now I can summarize this saying that the first reading is as usual. And then after the ruku'ah, when he comes up from the first ruku'ah, or from the ruku'ah of the salah, he reads again Quran, and then he makes another ruku'ah and then goes down to sujood. Number six, the Imam has thus completed the first rak'ah, and from the sujood position he would resume the standing position to begin the second rak'ah, which would be performed exactly as the first rak'ah in the manner described above, that is in the book, of course, described previously. Number seven, upon raising the head from the second prostration of the second rak'ah, the Imam would sit for at-tashahud and would then conclude the prayer as usual with taslim. Note, upon completing the eclipse prayer, as discussed, it is recommended that the Imam delivers a brief sermon in which he speaks of the lessons to be learned from the manifestation of the eclipse. He draws the attention of the unmindful to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he possesses unrestricted power to act in any way he wishes with his creations, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the witr, odd number prayer. The witr, which is odd number prayer, is a voluntary prayer traditionally practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regularly, whether he was present at his home place as a resident or was on a journey. Such was the importance attached to this prayer by the Prophet ﷺ that some Muslim jurists and scholars are of the opinion that it is a necessary prayer. The Prophet ﷺ, exhorting the Ummah, the Muslim nation, to the importance of the witr prayer, says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and loves witr. Therefore, O people who believe in the Quran, perform witr prayers, reported by Al-Imams Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. The time for the witr prayer begins from the end of Isha, evening prayer, and continues until the Fajr, dawn prayer, and is performed as the last prayer of the night. Preference is given to its performance in the later part of the night, as can be noted from what has been confirmed by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet ﷺ used to offer witr prayers in all the latter part or the later part of the night, such that his witr prayers used to be finished by about dawn, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. The Prophet ﷺ also said, make the witr prayer your last prayer of the night, reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. It is known as witr, odd number prayer, because of its nature, in that it is completed in units, rakats, of odd numbers, thus 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. The minimum number of rakats in the witr prayer is 1, and the maximum, which the Prophet ﷺ used to perform, was 11. However, Muslims largely perform this prayer in 3 units, rakats, which may be performed in either of the following 2 methods. A. The worshipper may perform 2 rakats similar to the Fajr prayer, and in doing so may go for the short and or medium passages of the Holy Quran, preferably chapter 87, سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, glorify the name of the Lord Most High, which may be recited in the first rak'ah, while chapter 109, Al-Kafirun, the non-believers, may be recited in the second rak'ah. As usual, the words of witness are recited at the end of the 2 rak'ats, followed by the taslim to conclude these first 2 rak'ats. The person then stands up to perform a 3rd rak'ah on its own. Chapter 112, Al-Ikhlas, of the Holy Quran may be recited in this unit. It is the practice to recite a supplication of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, known as Al-Qunut, in this last rak'ah. And if a person wishes to recite this supplication, he may do so upon resuming standing from the ruku' position and after saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, followed by رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. The qunut goes as follows: اللهم اهدني في من هديت وعافني في من عافيت وتولني في من توليت وبارك لي فيما أعطيت وقني شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت. O Lord, lead me to true faith with those you have guided. Pardon me with those you have pardoned. Protect me with those you have protected. Bless for me what you have given me. Keep me safe from evils you have ordained. It is you who decrees, and it is not decreed upon you. No one under your care is brought down, and no one to whom you show enmity can be exalted. O Lord, you are the most praised, most sublime. Or the person may recite any of the other supplications of obedience, that is qunut, which the Prophet ﷺ used to say in his prayers. Upon completing the recitation of this supplication of obedience, the person would say Allahu Akbar and then proceed to prostration. Thereafter, sits up for the recitation that is at tashahud, and concludes the prayer as usual with the taslim, and thus is the witch prayer done. Letter B. Alternatively, the person may perform the witch prayer by praying all the three rakats continuously without break after ruku'ah in the third rakah. The person would recite the qunut supplication as discussed above and would then proceed to prostration, then recites a tashahud and concludes the prayer with the taslim. Now, Taraweeh prayer. The Islamic fasting month of Ramadan is a blessed month in which Muslims are generally exhorted to come up with as many optional activities as is possible, for great rewards are awarded for deeds performed during this holy month. It is in appreciation of this that the Prophet ﷺ traditionalized for the Muslim Ummah a voluntary prayer to be performed during the nights of this holy month. This voluntary prayer is known as At-Taraweeh or Al-Qiyam. The virtue of this prayer can be noted from the following saying of the Prophet ﷺ: anybody who performs Taraweeh prayer during the month of Ramadan with deep sense of belief and security will have his previous sins forgiven. Reported by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. Indeed, the Prophet ﷺ manifested the importance of this prayer by personally leading its initial congregations, although he did not insist on its performance for fear it was made obligatory on the Ummah. The mother of the faithful Aisha radiallahu anha says, many people perform Taraweeh with the Prophet ﷺ in the first night, and many more in the second night. In the third night, even a larger congregation attended the mosque to perform the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he did not go out for them. In the next morning, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that, I saw your assembly, but nothing prohibited me from coming out to you, except the fear that it be made obligatory upon you. Reported by Al-Imam At-Tirmidhi. After the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no longer any fear of this prayer being made obligatory, and it was Caliph Omar who, during his reign, reactivated the performance of this prayer in congregation. Since then, the Ummah has practiced this prayer in congregation, but it is permissible for someone to perform it on individual basis. Although much preference is given to performing it with the congregation, as can be noted from the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, whoever prays Taraweeh with the congregation till the Imam leaves will be rewarded as if he prayed the whole night. Reported by Al-Imams Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi. This prayer is performed in rakats, units of two each, except the last rakah, which is always prayed oddly as one. It is confirmed that the Prophet ﷺ used to perform 11 rakats when praying At-Taraweeh. Salatul Istikharah, that's prayer of seek Allah's guidance. It's natural that in this day-to-day affairs, a Muslim is confronted with important issues requiring decision-making and which may force the person to undergo much thinking, anxiety, and even worry before the person is able to decide affirmatively or negatively. It is with due regard to such situations that the Prophet ﷺ accustomed for the Muslim Ummah a voluntary prayer to which a person may resort and to and through which he or she seeks from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala true guidance and the ability to reach the proper decision over the particular matter. Now, this prayer is known in Arabic as Salatul Istikhara, and its importance is such that the Prophet ﷺ used to teach his companions about it the same way he used to teach them the verses of the Holy Quran. The companion Jabir, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Prophet ﷺ used to exhort us to practice istikhara for all our affairs. The manner of performing this prayer is that the person comes up with a voluntary prayer of two rakats, that's units, at any time during the day or night, and upon completing the same, the person recites a private supplication in which he or she seeks the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The supplication goes as follows: Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik وأستقدرك بقدرتك وأسألك من فضلك العظيم، فإنك تقدر ولا أقدر وتعلم ولا أعلم، وأنت علام الغيوب. اللهم إن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر. Here the person makes a mention of the matter for which guidance is sought. خير لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاجل أمري وعاقبة أمري، فاقدره لي ويسره لي ثم بارك لي فيه. وإن كنت تعلم أن هذا الأمر. Also at this point the person makes a mention of the matter for which guidance is sought. شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري، فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه، واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم ردني به. Which means, O Lord, I seek your guidance through your knowledge and power, and I ask you of your great bounties, for you decree and I do not decree, and you know and I know not. You are the knower of invisible. O Lord, if you know that this matter, and here the person states the matter for which guidance is sought, is of benefit to me in my religion, in my livelihood, and in its outcome, decide it for me and make it easy for me, and then bless it for me. And if you know that this matter, and here he names it again, is bad for me in my religion, in my livelihood, and its outcome, in its outcome, turn it from me and divert me from it, and decree good for me wherever it may be, and make me pleased with it. Having sought Allah's guidance as above, the person then resumes his or her routine affairs, and in the meantime awaiting the due response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which could appear to the person by way of feelings in the person's heart, or either confidence or otherwise. Thus, where the person feels in his or her heart a sense of vigor, optimism, and satisfaction about the intended undertaking, then the person may construe this as a positive response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may accordingly proceed on with the intended undertaking. Where, however, the opposite is true, and the person's doubts and or worries are not cleared, then the person may avoid the intended undertaking, for it could mean doom for him or her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is possible that ye dislike a thing which is good for you, and that ye love a thing which is bad for you, but Allah knoweth and ye know not. That's Quran, Surah number 2, verse 216. Indeed, the essence of this prayer is to test someone's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, the need to abide by the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accordingly, whether this may mean pursuing or abandoning the intended undertaking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and if anyone puts his trust in Allah, sufficient is Allah for him, for Allah surely accomplishes his purpose. Verily, for all things has Allah appointed a due proportion. That's Quran, Surah 65, verse 3. La ilaha illallah, which means there is no God but Allah. Now, Salatul Janazah, funeral prayer. Islam has set certain rules and regulations with regard to attending a deceased person, and some of these rules are as follows. Number one, in most cases death is preceded by sickness, and it is the duty of the Muslims who happen to know the sick person to pay him a visit and make supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his recovery. Indeed, a sick Muslim has a right to be visited by other Muslims who are acquainted with him. Number two, if and when a Muslim is about to die, it is the practice that the person is directed to the Qibla, that is the sacred mosque in Mecca, after which the Shahada, the words of witness, is proclaimed over the person, and he or she is also urged to proclaim the same, thus, La ilaha illallah. This is in due regard to the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, exhort your dying ones to affirm the Shahada reported by Imam Muslim. Number three, where the person dies, the eyes are to be closed, body covered, with with garments, and the people around him are required to avoid talking of anything else except that which is good, such as saying, for example, O Allah, forgive him and have mercy on him. This is in accordance with the following saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: do not say over your dead ones except supplications for the angels. Say Ameen on your supplications. Reported by Imam Muslim. Number 4. In Islam, a Muslim is respected whether alive or dead, and therefore if a Muslim dies, the religion commands us to give the body total ablution, that is ghusl, and to perform it properly. Number 5. A deceased male Muslim is given a bath only by other male Muslims, although nothing forbids his wife from giving him a bath. Likewise, a deceased Muslim woman is given a bath only by other Muslim women, although nothing forbids a husband from giving a bath to his deceased wife. Number 6. The deceased should be wrapped in a shroud. If the deceased is a woman, she should be wrapped in a shroud composing of 5 pieces of white garments, while a deceased male should be shrouded with 3 pieces of white garments. Number 7. If a woman dies where there are no other women nearby to undertake the ritual bath, or if a man dies in a similar situation where there are no other men nearby, then the deceased person is only given a dry ablution, that is a tayammum, by rubbing the earth over his or her face and hands, because in such cases complete bath is impossible. Proper funeral prayer is then performed over the deceased and thereafter buried accordingly. 8. The funeral prayer is a collective obligation of the residents of the particular area. This is known as Fardu Kifayah in Arabic. And if no one comes out to perform the prayer on a deceased Muslim of that community, the community as a whole is indeed sinful in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if it is performed by some of the people, then the rest of the community are absolved of the sin. And with Salatul Janazah and a summary of the different types of prayers, we come to the end of this tape after reading the last page of the book and skipping about 4 or 5 pages. A summary of the different types of prayers. We shall now summarize the most common different types of prayer which a Muslim will get exposed to in his day-to-day life. Letter A, the obligatory prayers. Al Fariḍah, that is Fajr, Dawn, Dhuhr, Noon, Asr, Afternoon, Maghrib, Sunset, Isha, Evening. The necessary Wajib, Friday, Congregational Prayer. Other confirmed traditional prayers, thus, like the prayers of the two feasts, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha, seeking bounty of rain, that is Istisqa, prayer of the eclipse, that is Al-Kusuf, the 12 definite voluntary prayers, that's Al-Rawatib, of the obligatory prayers, the witr, which is the odd number prayer, and the taraweeh, which is the month of fasting prayer, the prayer of seeking Allah's guidance, and of course the funeral prayer. With this, we come to the end of Kitab al-Salah, the book of prayer, which has been compiled by Nathif or Nathif Jama Adam. This book was read to you by Ahmed Izzet, and this is the last tape, tape 3. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of you. Thank you.